I'm Tommy Gimler. Now, most of you might recognize, or at least best recognize, the name Matthew Fisher Davis from the phrase, "Who in the hell is Matthew Fisher Davis?" But we're going to explain here today on the Daily Upper Decker why either Matthew Fisher Davis was either involved in a fix when Vanderbilt lost to Northwestern, or he's the dumbest motherfucker at the school for smart kids.
All right. And I'm Brady Matthews. I just got back from Thailand, and I don't recommend it.
That's right. We'll pause for as many bathroom breaks as you need.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm Adam Ferberg, and Tony Romo is still a member of the Dallas Cowboys, confirming once again that the Cowboys will try to find a new position for him to play next year so they can keep him on the team, cut his salary, and keep him on. So Romo and Jerry Jones still have like a family match made in heaven.
It's called assistant coach.
Yeah.
For your Chicago Bears and Dallas Cowboys off-season news, that's why you come here every single
Crap.
Week to the Daily Upper Decker.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
Picking up scabs. Just picking up, it's like picking band-aids up off the floor.
No, that was a joke that we always talk about the Bears and the Cowboys in the offseason. We're becoming ESPN.
Yeah, it's just football offseason while other sports are on.
We've got nothing. We don't really want to talk about NBA players being too tired and Adam Silver trying to do something about it now because all the networks are saying, hey, we paid you $3 billion. So instead, we're going to talk about Tony Romo because it equals clicks.
Also, you're not going to start a real debate. God forbid that there's an actual debate that happens on sports and has people like contending. No, the story's got to be the same across the board or else the leagues get pissed off.
Well, I want to talk about this might not be a debate. I don't want to make this a debate. I want you guys to look at this and tell me if the person who didn't solve this Wheel of Fortune puzzle is the dumbest contestant in the history of the game. For those of you who are listening at home or in your car or out in your garage, because that's the only place you can go to get away from your fat wife and your three kids.
Wow.
It's a streetcar, NA-ED, desire. So all that is missing is the one letter in the NA-ED. A streetcar, I don't even think you would need any of the letters in there. It could just be a streetcar blanked desire, like blank desire. And you'd be able to get it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a title. It's a right. title in case you need that.
Now, Got the it. Question is, did this guy confuse it for a possible adult film adaptation? Because it's one letter, and it's really easy to fill that in. And that might have been the version that he saw.
I think that was Jenna Jameson's fourth film.
Right, yeah, yeah.
A streetcar naked desire.
Naked desire. Her name was, in fact, Stella, and that the guy was screaming that as he was coming. Instead of, like, at the end of the movie, all dramatic.
So anyway, so this dude spun, landed on $600.
Right.
So if you're at home, you're like, why are you spinning? Just solve. And
right.
it goes one tick past bankrupt, and you're like, oh, you lucky motherfucker. And then he guesses, like, an A.
What? That's not even a word. Nah, desire.
Yeah, plus there's already A's all over the board. So I think he just got nervous.
You didn't know.
I hope he just got nervous. We might be giving him too much credit, though. So that that goes down, I think, as one of the new dumbest contestants of all time. And there have been some dumb ones.
Oh,
there have been some dumb ones. A streetcar, NA-ED, desire, which is obviously a streetcar named Desire.
Right.
Right.
And he didn't get it.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, moving on to things that that are almost as stupid, I want to jump into the hot mess here, and I want to talk about Matthew Fisher Davis.
Now, who is Matthew Fisher Davis, Tommy? Fill us in.
Well, yeah, like I said, you're best recognized from the phrase, who in the hell is Matthew Fisher Davis? He was the Vanderbilt player. Now, if you missed the Vanderbilt-Northwestern game, you know, you missed a dandy of an ending. I wouldn't say it was the most entertaining game. There were a lot of lead changes back and forth, but it's Northwestern Vanderbilt. It doesn't matter. Whoever wins is going to lose to Gonzaga next round. So Vanderbilt goes up one with 17 seconds left. Vanderbilt, the team that Matthew Fisher Davis plays for, goes up one. Northwestern gets the ball. His name is like Bryant McIntosh, best free throw shooter on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Fisher Davis goes and intentionally fouls him. Up one, he fouls the Northwestern player.
Right. I saw
McIntosh. That. So McIntosh obviously hits both free throws.
Now you're down yeah.
So now you're down 1 point. It made absolutely no sense.
It was a mistake.
It was a big mistake. Either he didn't know anything about the game. If he's saying this was an honest mistake, then you can't use the excuse you thought you had a foul to give because they were in the bonus. I think they were in a double bonus, actually. so there are no fouls to give, and you're up 1 point. So you, in that part of the game, you're such a dumb motherfucker, and you're going to a school that is known technically for the smart kids, not Northwestern, Vanderbilt.
Right. Yeah,
the smarter, well, smarter kids.
I don't know. Northwestern's pretty hard to get into.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a smart kid, but I'm saying that even Vanderbilt is known as a smart
school. It's the school. Private school, yeah.
Right.
Listen, Jay Cutler can go there. Anyone can go there. That's the only Bears reference I'll go, and that's it. I'm
listen,
sorry.
I think that's an excellent point.
That's where Jay Cutler learned how to take pictures of his shits and then send them out and grade them using a tornado scale.
That's right.
Yeah, he really do that?
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Here's an F5 deuce. I dropped at Denny's. Send a picture to all his pals.
It's good to know that the meteorology school at Vanderbilt is at the highest level.
That it's the most respected
school on campus. Learn, come and study tornadoes and rate your shits. Vanderbilt.
Now it's Jewish.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So Matthew Fisher Davis.
Vanderbilt.
So he fouls the guy. McIntosh makes both free throws. They go up 1 point. So Vanderbilt gets the ball, and they still have 14-plus seconds to come down and take the lead back and like basically atone for one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Sure.
Basically, it's the dumbest thing I've seen in a college basketball game since Chris Webber's timeout when they didn't have any.
Granted,
that was in a national championship game, so there's a little more on that one, but still, this was pretty dumb. I've never seen somebody intentionally foul someone when they're up one.
Right.
So they have 14-some seconds left, and another kid on the team brings the ball down. They pass the ball around a little bit, and the only play they get off is like an NBA-esque three-pointer from like way downtown.
Really?
So as I'm watching the game, I'm like, you had 14.8 seconds. Granted, Vanderbilt had no timeouts to like drop a play, but still, move. It's plenty of time. 14 seconds is plenty of time. It's all day in the game of basketball.
Right.
And all they could muster was like a three from way downtown that wasn't even close.
Hmm.
And if I'm watching, it's like I just watched a fix. I mean, think of all the college basketball games that you've ever seen. Have you ever seen something that stupid?
From what you're describing, absolutely not. If someone had a lead to give away, that was how to do it.
Yeah, that's awful. I've never seen that in professional sports.
Now, the question is, did you pay attention to the books at those moments? Like, was there money shifting? Did it happen to fill some kind of a spread?
I never went back to check it out, but I don't think the spread was any more than a point or two.
Okay.
But I never, like, checked to see because I wasn't betting on the game because it was Northwestern and Vanderbilt. So I wasn't betting.
Save your money.
But I never went back to see, like, second half lines, like who was favored, what the over-under was, the point total for each team. But it was just beyond fishy to the point where even like the play where there's, where he fouls to, even though they're up one, if he fouls and gives them the 1 point lead, essentially,
right.
Like that was one thing. But then when you saw them come down the court and that was
and
the
then
shot
they didn't
they got
even
off,
try
was like
to
an
get
NBA type 3-pointer, it was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. I think what you said about Chris Webber, I think that's probably pretty equivalent to the biggest boneheaded move.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was on a bigger stage. It's a national championship game. This was Northwestern Vanderbilt. In the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter because you weren't getting past Gonzaga anyway.
Well, that's where the conspiracy theorists like to like sneak in because, you know, college basketball is the easiest of all sports to fix just because there are so many games. And this is probably the least paid attention to game all weekend. And suddenly this happens. So all the crazy people with the tinfoil hats are checking the sports books to see when those lines moved, see where the money went, and then suddenly that happened.
And speaking of sports books, there's actually, I'm sure you guys saw this story, there's a dude who wagered $12,500 on Michigan to win the national championship.
Ooh.
How much?
$12,500 for Michigan to win the national championship. 80-1 odds. If he wins, he wins $1 million.
Wow.
My only thing is that
now
that the story's out, they're going to lose.
Yeah. No, that's called a jinx. You told everybody you're screwed.
Well, so every single time, like this came out, remember when Auburn went to, or it was Auburn against Florida State in the national championship.
Right.
And some dude at the beginning of the year had picked Auburn at like 100-1.
Yeah.
And he had, God, what did he put, $1,000 on it? He put $1,000 on it, 100-1. So it was $100,000 that he stood the win.
Right.
And I was just screaming like online. I'm like, unless, if this dude doesn't hedge his bet, then he's the dumbest motherfucker alive because it's guaranteed money.
Yeah.
All you have to do is take a loan for $30,000 and put $30,000 on Florida State just to win.
Right.
And no matter what happens, either you win 30,000 and then take out the, you know, the 1,000 that you bet, so you win 29,000.
Right.
Or you're going to win 70,000.
Right. Either way, you still make a lot of money.
Right.
Right. But he didn't hedge, and Auburn lost the national championship game, and
whoops-a-diddle.
Yeah.
Well, I'm learning a lot about betting right now, so I just please keep it coming.
It's,
right.
It's actually good. I'm glad that you're...
I want to learn.
So now what he should do, he paid $12,500.
Mm-hmm. On an 80-1 bet.
On an 81 bet. So now what he should do, Michigan right now is a one-point favorite over Oregon. It's the first game that's on Thursday in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
So in my kind of expert opinion, I've had two really good weeks betting on football or betting on basketball. In my expert opinion, what he should do is the first game, he should bet $20,000 on Oregon.
Sure. Why not?
Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Sounds like a...
So if Oregon wins, congratulations. You just made $7,500 because you would lose to 12-5.
Right.
If Michigan wins and they make it to the Elite Eight, whoever they're playing in the Elite Eight, risk $40,000.
Man, it'd be nice to have this kind of money. Like, well, that
Oh God!
I think he owns a casino, or he owns.
I put down $250 on the roulette table, and my hands start shaking.
I'll see you at the Hooters Hotel and Casino for $2 blackjack,
dude. I'm all about them nickel slots, son.
Dude, you talk about like 12-5 on a bet. If I had 12-5 in my bank account, I'd be like, I'm rich.
Listen,
I'm rich. I won the lottery.
My lady wants to go for a fancy dinner. You bet we're going to Benihana's. Because
hey, I won three figures last week. Jesus. And I took my wife to the Manhattan House.
Nice.
And I thought I was the richest guy in the world.
Where's the Manhattan House? See, I'm
down in Manhattan Beach.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's where like Pete Carroll used to live when he coached USC.
Oh, when he cheated?
Wow.
when he cheated.
It's that's probably nice where he took all those guys.
Cheated all the way to the title.
He's like, how much money is it going to take to get your family to come to USC?
All right, so Brady Matthews, you were in Thailand. Did you get a chance to watch any of these games, or were you back for the game?
No, I wanted to kill myself because I couldn't watch any sports. I got barely any reception. No one spoke any English. I went to Hooters thinking maybe I could get away and watch a couple sports.
There's A, a Hooters in Thailand, and B, they didn't have any games on?
And C, you bet your fucking sweet tits I found it. I found the Hooters. It took a little asking around, if you will.
Sure.
Because everyone thought I was being really creepy, American style, you know.
That still translates somehow.
Well, I go to Hooters, massage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. There was all rugby on. There's all fucking soccer.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. That's all it is. And you know what? After a while, I watched sumo wrestling before I went to bed one night. Watched sumo wrestling, and you know what? I fucking liked it. I did like it. I actually thought it was pretty interesting.
This is a new Brady Matthews.
Are we going to start a sumo segment on the show?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, instead of Factor Fudge, it's going to be your sumo.
Well, maybe there was that sumo wrestler a couple of weeks ago who got hit so hard in the initial, like, when the fat bodies slapped together.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like the initial, I don't know what you call it, the initial push. He was, like, seeing stars.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't see, and he kept trying to get up, and it was like a Looney Tunes cartoon. It was
hysterical.
They smack each other. Sometimes they'll sit there and just start, they'll smack back
and
forth. Smack.
Yeah, they slap each other, like Ric Flair.
Slap each other in the face. It's fucking great. Couldn't stop watching it.
So, anyway, if you're this dude, his name is, he's the owner of the D Hotel. Derek Stevens, the D Hotel. That might
in
be a
Las
gay
Vegas?
Hotel. Hey, I'll meet you at the D.
The D in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he owns
a
hotel. So he went to Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Golden Nugget, and that dude accepted the wager from Derek Stevens, the owner of the D Hotel.
Sorry, someone just pulled up my iPad. It says Mark Sanchez is reportedly visiting with the Chicago Bears.
Yes,
he is. Oh, man.
Like, what?
Now
the
do you want a beer? Now do you want a beer?
Do it.
He already had one in preparation.
What are you doing?
I think the Bears
are such a stupid organization. They're so dumb.
A, that's great since I'm a Packers fan. It's beautiful. Right. But I think they saw how much fun Cubs fans had after, you know, what was it? 109-year drought.
And they want to make that a reality again.
They want to do the
football,
same thing.
Yeah.
You bet.
In 2035, it's going to be like the Bears haven't won the Super Bowl in 50 years.
Oh, dude, have you seen all the scrubs they brought in? All the fucking guys, all the band-aids that
they
keep picking
Mike
up.
Yes, Mike Glennon is going to make more money next year as the starting quarterback than Aaron Rodgers
and Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady had to move some things around, but
Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon.
Yep. Who the hell is Mike Glennon?
He was a backup to Jameis Winston. And then, yeah. He's garbage. And they, you wonder why they drafted Jameis Winston? Because Mike Glennon was garbage. And now they're going to go and Bears are going to go and get, they'll probably get like a defensive tackle, you know, or probably, they want to keep that quarterback shit trend going.
Right.
We haven't had a good quarterback since Sid Luckman. Do you guys know when he was? 1945.
In the defense of Jim McMahon, I think he would have been good if Charles Martin wouldn't have like raped him.
I mean, and that, yeah, that's not illegal at all. Just picking him up, slamming him on some freezing cold AstroTurf.
Yeah. Well, he did get ejected.
It was the 90s, but yeah.
It was the 90s. Well, yeah. Different.
No, I think it was late 80s.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's so illegal. And he said that.
He was never the same after
that. Ended his career.
He got a concussion off of that, right?
Well, more than that. I think it fucked up his back and his vertebrae and everything.
Right. He eventually went on to be the backup quarterback for the
Chargers.
Eagles. The Packers. And he won a Super Bowl, and then he wore a Bears jersey to the... I just think at that point he was already so fucked up, he was just reaching for his jersey.
He said pot saved his life. He said marijuana saved his life. I'm like, yeah, all right. I remember I asked for his autograph once at the North Carolina airport.
That's what he told you?
And he looked at me and goes, can't you see him fucking eating? And my brother comes over and he goes, you sucked anyways. And we walked away.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's a great story. Can't you see I'm fucking eating?
Yeah, can't you see I'm fucking eating? 9.
Hey, look.
You're a kid?
I was a kid. Oh. Yeah, I went and grabbed a pen. I got my fucking airplane ticket stub for him to sign. Uh-huh. And I go, Mr. McMahon, I'm a big fan of yours. Go Bears. can you sign my stub? And he goes, can't you see I'm fucking eating? I go, oh, yeah. And then I went over and told my brother, and he goes, where is he? My brother walks over and he goes, you fucking sucked anyways. And then walked away. My brother was like 11.
Oh, all right. Yeah. His brother was a 6-year-old.
It's like one of those stories you see in a movie.
Yeah.
See, if you are Jim McMahon, and this is what I've learned as a non-celebrity, right, at some of these events that I do, like the people think that I'm a celebrity because you have the microphone.
Was he cool?
He was amazing. He's a great dude.
Honestly, was he cool?
Yeah. You never know with young kids. Like Jimmy Butler's 27 years old, I think. So you never know. Usually they don't have a lot to say. They're just worried about their next paycheck, whatever, like what they're going to be doing, or their next contract in the big leagues. And it's just kind of like, hey, I'm here to take some pictures and that's it.
Right.
But he was hysterical.
Really?
He answered questions about like who's the biggest trash talker. And he said Joakim Noah. And he said Joakim Noah,
I love that.
When he was on the Bulls, he would always talk shit to whoever Jimmy Butler had to guard.
No shit.
So everyone's laughing because he's like, come on, man. It's already hot enough covering Kevin Durant.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to have to.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you ask him where Mark Wahlberg is or can we get him on conference
call?
No,
we did. We did.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I said, hey, like, what is one of the questions was, what is the most surprising thing that your fame and being an NBA superstar
super random.
You? Yeah, and he was just like he had left practice for the day, and Mark Wahlberg was in town shooting a flick. So he had left practice, and out of all the Bulls players that Mark Wahlberg wanted to like shoot around with and play one-on-one against, he requested Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy
play
Butler one-on-one had only
with
home,
what a dick.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know. And then he's like kind of like snapped out of it, and he was like, it's Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so he goes back and they just shoot the shit, and they play some hoops for a little while. And Mark Wahlberg gives him his number. He says, you're ever out in L.A., just give me a buzz. So Jimmy Butler, you know, a month or two later, flies out to L.A. for whatever. And he's like, let me give it a shot, whatever. And he goes ahead and he texts Mark Wahlberg and says, hey, he doesn't even say his name. Like, hey, I'm in town. And he's like, here's the address. Come on over.
That's cool.
So now they're pals.
Nice. And just titties and coke.
It's just Mark.
I'm sure. Yeah. We didn't get that far. Yeah, we didn't get that far.
Right. Mark said, what's up, man? You want some coke?
but at that point, like, you know, kids come up to me as I'm asking them questions. Like, afterwards, they come up and they shake my hand. And every now and then, someone asks me for an autograph. And I explain to them, like, I'm not going to autograph that basketball for you because it would wreck the value of that basketball. But I say, here, give me something and I'll sign
paper.
Whatever. And you sign it for them because they just don't know any better.
Right.
And as Jim McMahon, maybe unless he was already like.
It was an airplane. It was an airplane stub. Also, who's really bugging Jim fucking McMahon at a North Carolina airport?
Yeah, you should be lucky we still know who you are.
100%. I was like, did this guy have a rough night?
I think that's how, from now on, Brady, should your shit blow up, that's how you sign all autographs.
On.
Can't you see I'm fucking eating? Brady Matthews.
That's funny.
On everything.
Dude, Ferberg, that's great.
Yeah.
And I pray to Jesus. Let's just have a moment of prayer. That happens. Karen, yeah. This one's for you.
That's literally out of like Bad Santa, where they come over and they're like, hey, look at Santa. He's like, I'm on my fucking lunch break.
Yeah. Nuts. Way, no, that movie's amazing.
There's a scene from Westworld where the same kind of thing happens. Uh-huh. The guy's like, hey, your foundation totally saved my sister's life. And he's like, I'm on my fucking vacation. One more word and I will cut your fucking tongue out.
Wait, what's
Ed
that
Harris?
From? What is that from?
Ed Harris. Yeah.
Westworld. Did you see that show?
I did, yeah.
Dude.
So good.
So good.
Lots of tits.
Yeah.
And you know what makes a show.
I didn't think Westworld was, you know what? I had a dream today that it was on Westworld, and then I told the director that I didn't want to do it anymore, and I walked off set. Isn't that cool?
Oh,
isn't that
wow.
cool?
Look, even my dreams, I'm
fucking it up. God damn it.
And that's it. You don't even remember, but subconsciously what you told him is, dude, can't you see I'm fucking
eating? I woke up, I swear to God, I woke up from my nap, and I was like, I'm on a fucking TV show. I swear to God.
I love it. Phone rings tomorrow. You want to come in for Westworld 2?
Fuck yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off topic.
No, this is great. This is good stuff. Like, this is why I always have topics pulled up. Whether or not we get to all of them, so be it. This is great. This is good stuff. I never, in my honest opinion, I never thought tonight I would have heard that Jim McMahon told a 9-year-old kid, can't you see him fucking eating?
Yeah.
That made the show right there.
Yeah.
Well, hashtag that shit. If you're on Twitter right now, find us online at Daily Upper Deck, at Brady Matthews 13, at Adam Ferberg, FEUERBERG.
MVP.
And hashtag us, hashtag can't you see
I'm fucking eating.
Can't you see I'm fucking eating?
I wonder if someone said that to him one day.
Yeah.
What if he took that from somewhere? Maybe if he saw it in a movie and he tried it and somebody walked away and he was like, all right.
Yeah, when he was a kid, Jack Youngblood said that.
Right.
He's right. Like, I'm going to do this like to somebody else.
Right. Or Deacon from the Rams, whatever his fucking name is.
Deacon Jones.
Can't you see I'm fucking eating? Give him that black accent.
Oh. So is there anything else from the tournament that we need to talk about?
Oh, yeah. The guy putting his hand through the hoop at the Northwestern game. Did you see that?
The next one. So Northwestern getting some love. Yeah. And he got a technical foul out of it. They ended up losing by 6 points. And then the NCAA comes out and they say,
that was officiated game I've maybe ever seen. Besides when I played in ninth grade and I got kicked out of the game, but that's it.
Well, that was a bullshit call, Brady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the guy's hand went right through the hoop and blocked it. And then the coach comes on the court and says, dude, he put his hand through the hoop. And the ref's like, that's it. I've heard enough from you. T. Yeah, you're like,
he
might
have said the F word or something. But still, at that point, like, there's no.
The game was so close, though. They were only down by like two.
At that point, well, they were down by a ton and they had brought it all the way back and was close. And it was just a terrible call. But the NCAA and the NBA, NFL, they all do it, and it's just never good enough.
Right.
It's never good enough that you say, yeah, we made an error there. Well, unless you're going to say, okay, we're going to go back and play the game from that point on.
Right.
Because that.
Yeah, what is the fix for human error?
It's really hard. I think what you just have to do is you have to, like, fine the officials. You have to go back and just say, and there's a Major League umpire that comes into Prince of Wales down in Playa del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll sit there and he says that they get graded on their performance every single game. And there are fines that are dished out if you made too many mistakes. They will fine you.
So you are incentivized to do a better job.
Well, I don't think umpires were against replay because they don't want to, you know, be told that they were wrong.
Well, I mean, I think officiating is one of those things where, like, you know, robots are going to start taking over, like, service jobs and driving jobs. There will not be truck drivers in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like, 20, 25 years.
I don't think there'll be trucks in 10 years, too.
Rank 3.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, like, you'll just kind of get an alert in front of you, like, whether or not it was a ball or a strike. And it'll be so perfectly accurate that no one's going to get to bitch about a bad call anymore.
Right, until, like, the batteries, like, someone forgets to, like, charge the
right,
umpire.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be, like, a 2-2 pitch, two outs.
Listen.
Don't say why on Dodger.
And, it's just the battery dies, and that's
it. Yeah, not even that. Yeah. It'll just, like, turn around, and it'll just be, like, no lights on or anything like that.
Well, it already happened in a Super Bowl, so it's going to happen again.
It did. Good old New Orleans.
Good old New Orleans, which brings us back to Colin Kaepernick.
It does. Well, before we get to Colin Kaepernick, good foreshadowing.
Thank you.
I'm going to mix things up here a little bit before we leave the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Which, congratulations, Badgers fans. I think it's pretty obvious that the committee, you know, didn't do a bang-up job again. Minnesota was not a 5 seed. The Badgers were not an 8 seed. The Badgers took down Villanova, went on. It was great. Congratulations to them. Of course, that's why I did 9 brackets this year, because when I saw that Wisconsin was going to face Villanova in the second round, I was like, all right, fine. In 4 of them, I'm going to take Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Follow my heart. And the other 5, I'm going to take Villanova.
Do you do it? Sorry to break it up, but when you do it, like, do you do a wild card bracket where you just like pick whoever?
Yeah, where I just go through and don't even like think about it, where it's like, all right, I could see this. However, I did not have South Carolina beating anybody. So
I tell you what, though, that the two main kids they get for South Carolina, they're going to be like first round draft picks.
They're going to be great. And it's one of the signs that the committee kind of messed up on as well, is that they undervalued the SEC.
Well,
Florida,
the NCAA
Kentucky.
NCAA committee is about as retarded as Congress. They're fucking stupid.
I think they're made up of like former congressmen.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that would totally tie it together. But Arkansas gave North Carolina a run for their money.
Yeah.
And they were an 8 seed.
Right. Yep.
That game should not have been a second round game.
You know what, though? Those seeds, like, kind of.
It's almost worthless.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just, I don't know. It makes it for a little more exciting, because you're like, whoa, they're an 8 seed.
Right. Right.
And you're like, you don't even know what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Really,
not at all.
It doesn't matter.
So, you know, again, because of games like that, oh, shit, did he just hit one out?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. No. The rain at Dodger Stadium knocks it down, and USA.
Is it? Oh, they still have a bottom inning.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. No, they still have another inning.
Okay. U.S. and Puerto Rico, baby.
So, of course, the Daily Upper Decker, we're giving away $50 to whoever wins the Daily Upper Decker's bracket challenge. We had 83 brackets.
Nice.
In, and right now, there are two guys tied at the top. We've got Sam, Mark, and Mike Jem, both with 52 points, and they both have Gonzaga as their champion.
What?
Really?
They both have Gonzaga, so they're not going to make it.
No fucking way. I say Gonzaga loses
the top game. The top guy in our bracket challenge who does not have Gonzaga is the dud. I've got Kansas, and it's I'm tied in
Does anyone have Arizona?
Yeah, there are a couple people. Dave Bussey. Johnny Lacasto tied for third place.
Nice.
Comedian Johnny Lacasto. He knows sports, man.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about
wrestling,
the
too.
Huh?
He knows wrestling, too.
Oh, he does. He knows wrestling. He knows Jen Sturger. He knows everything. He knows everything sports, baby.
1, 2.
Not
done.
As much as he really wants to, though.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Johnny Costo, we love you.
Johnny's been backup catcher in the friend zone for quite some time now.
I didn't say anything, Johnny.
So what we're going to do here today is we're going to play Factor Fudge real early in the show.
Wow.
Factor Fudge.
We're going to do Factor Fudge right here. Now, normally, if you don't make it to the end of our show, which, you know, studies show that is indeed the case.
I purposely have never looked up the statistics so that I don't find out.
There really are no statistics on it. You could just say how many people listened at any certain point.
Well, listeners, I have a token of victory on my shoulders at this moment as we speak.
It is. So we've got our friends from Flag and Anthem, basically our one friend, Andy Ostroff, at Flag and Anthem, sent us out a couple of shirts, and I gave... It was either going to go to Adam or Brady, whoever won Factor Fudge a couple of weeks ago. The winner was Adam Ferberg, and he is now donning that beautiful shirt from Flag and Anthem.
Listen, what's up?
I thought you cut the sleeves off.
Oh, no, I just rolled them up.
Oh,
I wouldn't do that to a Flag
and
Anthem shirt.
I like your style, and I actually think I like that shirt more.
I just want to say, when you only win once, you hold on to the token as long as you possibly can.
I enjoy it. Remember, all dud listeners can go to the Daily Upper Decker and check, or they can click on a link.
Yeah.
You can't miss it. If you go to our site and miss the link, then may God have mercy on your soul. You're not going to be able to punch in your credit card number anyway when you get there. But every dud listener gets 20% off their first order at Flag and Anthem Bitchin' Shirts. All right. Fact or fudge?
Fact or fudge.
Gentlemen, is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Decker's NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge, which would be a fact, or not, which would be fudge? Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Decker's NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Defending champion Adam Ferberg, you are first, and we're going to start with Lucky Sock. Lucky Sock.
I'm going to say that is not a bracket.
That is correct.
Yes.
According to Urban Dictionary, Lucky Sock is what most teenage boys use to masturbate.
Correct.
To be used in a sentence. I just got done using my Lucky Sock. Now I'll use it again.
I know that from experience.
I got a buddy back home. Like, I wasn't a sock guy myself. I just I don't know. I thought it was, I didn't want to get warts. So, you know, right?
Yeah.
My buddy once said, if it ain't itching, it ain't bitching. I was like, you're disgusting.
So nice. Your buddy has herpes.
And that was my dad. That was my...
He has chlamydia.
So I had a buddy who spent a couple of years in college and didn't graduate from either school. But that's the most surprising part was that he spent multiple years in college. Well, while he was there, he would spend the summers, you know, back at his parents' place. Mm-hmm. You know, we're college kids. We're starving. Sure. We can't afford our own place. So we come back to our parents' house. We all got shithoused one night. He comes back and, you know, in his room, doesn't lock his bedroom door, shuts the bedroom door, but, you know, pulls out the old sock, slaps it on, gets ready to go, passes out. So he's buck naked in his bed with nothing but a sock on. And in the morning, his mom opens the door like, Luke, the pancakes are... Just shuts the door, walks right out.
Maybe he was listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ah, you never know. Listen, yeah, hey.
How does she know that's just not pajamas? You know what I mean? Like, he gets cold. You get cold at night. Everything else is okay, but just one part of you gets cold.
Is that sock supposed to be sticking straight in the air? That's
It's the morning.
Yeah. A lucky sock is also what you use to clean up all the cum you got everywhere, you fucking messy shit.
Oh, my God.
I hope that's word for word in Urban Dictionary.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
To be used in a sentence.
Messy
shit.
Shit.
If I
had
gotta
a bracket,
go find my lucky sock and
if I had to
this.
Fill out a bracket, it'd be, can't you see him fucking eating?
That would be the name of your bracket. I love it. All right.
You have to sign everything like that, Brady,
from now on.
So Adam Ferberg, 1. Brady Matthews, 0. Still anybody's game here in Factor Fudge. Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Deckers NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Unnatural ejaculations.
God damn it. Unnatural ejaculations?
Unnatural ejaculations.
I'm going to go no.
That is incorrect. It actually is a bracket that was entered by our good pal Seth. He's tied for 19th place with 46 points. And he also has Gonzaga to win it all, but he has a possible 170 points remaining.
Really?
And that is the most out of anybody, 170. So he's still in good shape. He just might want to get those unnatural ejaculations checked out. Either that or it's a hell of a story. All right. So still 1-0, Adam Ferberg here in a very early game of Fact or Fudge. Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Deckers NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Bo Ryan's side pussy.
I'm going to say that is a bracket.
That is correct.
Yes.
I've got a tail,
of course,
I mean,
it is.
Tail between my legs here. That's, so Bo Ryan's side pussy. Now the two S's are dollar signs.
Nice.
So,
now, if you told me that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, right.
Dead giveaway.
Damn it. I would have said yes on that.
Yeah.
Thing.
And I double checked to make sure it wasn't on Urban Dictionary.
Over here.
Indeed it was not. Indeed it was not. Right.
It should be.
2 for Adam Ferberg, 0 for Brady Matthews, still anybody's game. Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Deckers NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? 1 shining bowel moment.
I'm going to say yes.
That is correct. Thank you. 1 shining bowel moment. That is by our good buddy Johnny Davis, who celebrated a birthday on Monday.
Happy birthday, Johnny.
This week. So good man, not a very good bracket. 1 shining bowel moment. That is exactly what his bracket is at this point, but... You never know.
The point is that his intestines are regular. That's the most important thing.
It's all that matters.
Good.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. I think
thank you.
all right, here we go. So it's 2-1 Adam Ferberg over Brady Matthews right now. Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Deckers NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Whipped ass.
That is not a bracket.
That is correct. It is
God,
indeed.
You're on fire. Shooting threes from half court.
it's actually a porno. Whipped ass.
What is it called?
It's called Whipped Ass. It's a TV series from 2011 where Alexis Monroe played a sexy MILF boss punished and fucked by lesbian employees at a strip poker game.
Nice.
Listen, I watched a 80s porn the other day. And they were at a TSA, or not TSA, they were at a parent-teacher conference.
Oh, get
like,
out of here.
It is, they had plots in this bitch, but it was the hottest shit, because it was a build-up, and I'm like, she's
it's a
there.
Story.
Right, she's sitting there, she's tapping her thing, and the guy keeps looking at her, and she's in the auditorium, and I'm like, what's going to happen? And then
yeah.
They go back to the classroom, they have one-on-one parent-teacher conference, and like it was like the grainy 80s kind of fucking
yeah. So bad, it's got like this beautiful
bad
art.
Saxophone, like Lethal Weapon kind of music.
Oh man, the Spanish
and
guitar
and the saxophone is like actually in the some, the camera picks it up a little bit. So, like, hey, get yeah. the saxophone.
But it was so good. But it was so good. Like, women in there fucking from behind. And then he puts it in her ass, and I was like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming.
Because it didn't look like an anal movie, and it was.
But they don't do that in the 80s. And I was like, oh, my God. Dude, couldn't handle it. No. That lasted about 5 seconds.
That's a great plot twist.
But I watched, like a, I watched all of it.
The best part was that it was shot on 35mm film.
Right.
It was very artistic.
Oh, so yeah, that I'm trying to run it through my brain right now. I just saw The Prestige last night.
That's a great movie.
And I think that has an amazing plot twist or two in there, but I still think anal at a parent-teacher conference trumps it.
That,
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that is way better than the end of The Prestige. That is The Prestige.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just watching too much porn, but it was fucking great.
Welcome back from Timeline.
Thank you.
All right. So 3-1. We've got 3-1. Adam Ferberg. This is a big one for you, Brady. Okay. This is a big one for you.
I'm in.
Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Decker's NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Bracalosi.
Bracka what?
Bracalosi.
No.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Bracalosi is not. According to Urban Dictionary, Bracalosi is the name the postman calls Luca Bracalosi when he's fucked up on enough ketamine to bring down an elephant.
I feel like that's not an Urban Dictionary. That is something that someone's postman said to him while he was fucked up on ketamine, and then they went on to Urban Dictionary and just wrote that out.
That's beautiful. That's what Urban Dictionary is
for. It really
for.
Is, yeah.
Bracalosi, the name the postman calls Luca Bracalosi when he's fucked up on enough ketamine to bring down an elephant.
Wow. Let me guess. Was this uploaded by Luca, whatever his last name is?
Luca Brazzi.
No. This is uploaded by Kidney King on February 4th, 2010.
Kidney
that's,
King.
That's he's the Kidney right King.
I'm going to give it a like. That's a second like.
You think all Kidney right. King's an organ donor?
An organ donor.
Or he's like a Russian on the black market. Yeah. Like he's like...
Hey, you know, could be a Hasidic Jewish guy. That was a thing like 10 years ago, remember?
That's good.
I think I saw that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
All right, here we go. 3-2. Adam Ferberg, your play.
Okay.
Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Decker's NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Zero Dark Squirty. Zero Dark Squirty.
I'm going to say that is a bracket.
Surprisingly, that is a bracket.
What?
Yes.
Zero
God
dark
damn.
Squirty.
4-4-4.
Crushing it.
Did you sign up? Did you put a bracket in here? That you
I know? Actually did not. I did not. I was very lazy last week and didn't do a goddamn thing. Turned on a computer maybe twice and barely went on social media.
Unfortunately for Andrew, the guy who made Zero Dark Squirty, tough start. He's got 42 points. However, he does have Kentucky winning it all. He does have Kentucky winning
does
it all.
Does anyone have Arizona? If I did, I would have picked Arizona.
Yeah, Bitch Slap has Arizona.
Bitch Slap?
I feel like no matter what, everyone looked at Urban Dictionary to name their brackets.
Maybe not everyone because there's like Owen's Picks, and that's like my sister. Yeah. That's her kid's Owen's Picks. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
Tom's Tip Top Bracket, Johnny okay. Utah's Choice Bracket, you know.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
Would you guys pay $115 for a lodge box to go see USA versus Puerto Rico tomorrow?
I would. I think it's going to be intense.
I think I would too.
That is, yeah. The fact that Puerto Rico's in it just makes me feel good.
Right.
I'm
for all the people
up tickets,
who don't know that I'm Puerto Rican.
I'm looking up tickets.
The rare Puerto Rican Jews.
Dude, someone was making like racial humor today at the work, and everyone's looking at me like, white people, man, we got to stick together. And I'm like, why are you looking at me, dude? Come on.
The last time we did that, most of my ancestors didn't make it out of Germany,
yeah,
asshole.
Come on, yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're trying to keep people out that look like me.
Yep, it's going to be USA against Puerto Rico tomorrow. I think $115 is a steal.
I found two tickets for $89.
Now, I would jump all over it, and I would, if you're not going to go there, then go to the Brea Improv, where Tommy Gimler will be performing.
Hey-o.
Oh, with
tomorrow
who?
Night. It's the WTF show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I know Josh Nelson's on it. That's good. Patrick Fowler
cool.
is on it. A couple good guys. Anyway, Brady, this is a big one for you.
Let's do it.
If you get this, the game goes on. If not, we're going to get back into sports.
Okay.
This is the crap section of the show. Is this the name of a bracket in the Daily Upper Deckers NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge or not? Bracket 8. Bracket 8.
No.
That is correct. The game goes on.
Wow.
The
wow.
game goes on. Bracket 8,
there's
ladies
nothing
and
to
gentlemen.
It. There's nothing
according
to, it.
To Urban Dictionary, bracket 8 is the correct way to explain the sexual act called 69ing. The man's penis goes into the woman's mouth, and the man's tongue goes into the woman's vagina. Therefore, the man is the bracket. The woman is represented by the 8 because both extensions of the bracket penetrate the openings of the 8, the mouth and vagina of the woman.
So what you're saying is this is the scientific term for 69ing.
Yeah.
Okay. How they would discuss it in a medical board.
Actually, it does. It's actually a very mature explanation.
Interesting.
And you're almost like, wow, that might be the most mature Urban Dictionary entry I've
right.
ever seen.
Right.
Until you go to the sentence where it's hate 'em, date 'em, bracket 8 'em.
I love it.
Hate 'em, I just date 'em, bracket 8 'em.
I want to be there the day that this is taught in health class. I just want to be in that teacher's class that day.
So that's two hashtags today. If you're finding us on Twitter at Daily Upper Deck, at Brady Matthews 13, and at Adam Ferberg, it's can't you see I'm fucking eating, and hate 'em, date 'em, bracket 8 'em.
What about, like, you talk about 69, what about 96ing? You know where you wear each other's asses as hats?
Wait, they didn't score. They didn't score. It's
no, it was a replay. That was a replay.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Yeah, well, the McCutcheon thing, I think, was a replay.
Oh, yeah, that it was foul, one of the two. All right, well, maybe you want to hold off on those tickets yet.
Yeah, unless, I was going to say.
Unless you want to see Japan and Puerto Rico. All right.
I'll do it after.
All right, here we go. Could be the end of the game right here. Adam Ferberg could remain the reigning champion, to remain the champion. Omaha Hambone. Omaha Hambone. If you get it, the game is over. If not, Brady Matthews gets a chance to tie. Omaha Hambone.
I'm going to say that's not a bracket.
That is correct.
God,
and you will
damn.
Five for five, baby.
Wow.
That is impressive.
Now, to steal Brady Matthews, can you guess what the Omaha Hambone is on Urban Dictionary?
Omaha Hambone. What is Omaha known for? Steak. I would say you take your dick and you poke her in the eye and then just say, just joking, and then keep fucking her.
It's actually really close. The Omaha Hambone is when you come in a girl's ear and then push her down the stairs.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
both, a lot of hatred behind both of them.
Oh, God.
That is
that's just called assault.
Listen, all I missed was the anatomy, and I missed the sex part.
Yeah. just missed. You were in the facial region.
You know what? Those just shows that great minds think alike is what it comes down to.
I think you learned a lot in Thailand. You came back. You
yeah,
came back.
I got a golden microphone is what I got.
Of course.
Yeah. It cost me 10 baht. And if you know what 10 baht is, that's like 99 cents.
That's a great purchase.
So that thing will be dead in fucking no time.
But it has that lovely pattern
good, though,
in the
huh?
back. I like that. That's very professional.
What if I just got rid of the microphone when I go do stand-up and I just bring this guy?
Do you remember there was a comic at
people
the comedy store who
awesome.
Would undo the mic
yeah.
and then put in like the old-style
yeah,
time
Richard
mic?
Christie.
Yeah, bald British
yeah,
guy.
Quit comedy.
What happened to that guy?
Quit comedy.
He got someone pregnant, didn't he?
No.
No, he went out and he became, you might know him better now as T-Pain.
No, you know what he does? You know what he does? He does sound dubbing for Pixar.
Oh, so he makes good money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
I think I quit comedy, too.
Yeah.
I'm at Seinfeld.
Of course, before we move on here, use in a sentence Omaha Hambone. I gave the bitch Omaha Hambone. Now she gitted an ear infection and a broke-did rib.
I should have said, come on her ear, kick her down the stairs. Done.
That was the guy that kicked the woman down the stairs. Like, this is not like a side thing. That's the guy that actually just assaulted that woman.
Wasn't that from, that was like a key plot point in.
From Omaha.
No, not Omaha. The Citizen Kane. Rosebud.
Oh, yeah. He fell down the stairs.
Ah, no, I'm thinking of my song, My Old Man, where I throw, it's like an old man giving a sex talk to his kid, except
right.
he's using nothing but Urban Dictionary entries. So he talks about the toboggan ride, where you do a chick from behind at the top of the stairs, you come in her hair, and then ride her down to the very last stair. The toboggan ride, yeah.
Well, it helps to get the grip, you know.
Well, in there, I say, like, her new name is Rosebud and you're Citizen Kane. the toboggan
Great slide. Reference. Yeah. Great reference.
All right, here, moving on here in the hot mess. Let's jump into the NBA. Tonight, the Chicago Bulls' Robin Lopez and the Toronto Raptors' Serge Ibaka ejected after, like, an old-school fist fight. It was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
This isn't like you said. You saw the Golden State Warriors and Oklahoma City Thunder last night.
Right, which played very much like a baseball fight where benches clear but nothing happened.
A little bit of yelling.
Steph Curry, the only
reason why.
He's a prototypical guy that gets in a fight, but he knows his boy's got his back.
Right.
He starts the fight and then looks like more aggressive than he actually is, but he knows his boys are just going to step right in.
Right, yeah.
And Draymond Green, it doesn't help to have Draymond Green to your right.
Right.
Who's just a fucking goddamn tiger without a leash.
And then, well, I mean, that, and of course, that's what that dude in Dazed and Confused thought would happen.
Right.
When he punched Clint.
Yeah, he punches Clint and Clint kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, and he just looks around and like no one's coming to save him.
Right.
I would love to have that happen in baseball once.
Yeah.
Where like a player comes out and he's like, yeah, all my boys got me. And he comes out and he just turns around and they're all in the dugout.
Just putting
their sunflower seeds out.
Right, because he's the guy that probably fucked all their wives.
The closest thing would be Odor last year with Bautista. But the difference was that Odor got what was coming to him in the playoffs. And now I think Odor is on a different team where no one likes him.
No, I don't think he's on the Rangers.
He's still in the Rangers? Yep. I heard a story where he was pissing off people, but he's just a fucking fiery
No, that was
guy.
His brother of this in who has the same name who was down at like the Dominican Academy who's jerking off dudes as part of their
Here we go. For the one
part of their thing. Oh, all right. Speaking of good baseball stories. We've got
kind
USA
of reminds me when the
two,
Cubs
Japan
were in
one.
The 10th inning just joking.
Oh yeah.
We've got a live looking right here USA against Japan. Look at
Jim Leland.
Yeah, Jim Leland still has a pulse.
My God.
He's come a long way since he was burning heaters in the dugout. You remember that? He used to smoke cigarettes. Yeah.
He would smoke while they were showing anti-smoking ads in at commercial. And they would just cut back to him just putting down a Marlboro, hanging out with the camel.
Oh, I remember first Cubs game I went to, Don Zimmer and Mark Grace were sharing a fucking heater right outside of the dugout.
Oh, I love it.
Well, there was a meme. Mm-hmm. But it could have also just been a picture of Len Dawson, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Halftime of the first Super Bowl, he's sitting on his helmet drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette.
Oh, Len Dawson's first Super Bowl?
Yeah, at halftime. He's quarterback of the Chiefs.
He played for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know how cold it is out there? Yeah, you want a beer and a fucking heater.
That's great.
Now you know, being from Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. I'd prefer to have whiskey.
No shit.
All right, here we go. 0-2, bottom of the ninth at Dodger Stadium, where ironically the USA is playing. If you've ever been to Dodger Stadium, you understand why that's funny. USA 2, Japan 1.
Do you think USA is really like nervous? Like, are you really nervous?
No. I mean, as far as they're concerned, everyone's saving energy.
Who's really bragging that you won the fucking baseball classic?
Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, yeah. Got him!
Get on there,
buy your tickets. The USA advances to the
World
Baseball
Classic.
That guy's
like John Rocker, doesn't he?
If John Rocker and who was the closer for the Angels like 20 years ago?
Troy Percival.
So this game's tomorrow. I'm all about it.
Yeah. If I didn't have a show, I would go. I would go. I would root for my country because I love the USA. and while we're on that, maybe we should jump to the only thing that makes Colin Kaepernick more tolerable is when you include Donald Trump in the same sentence. So moving on here in the hot mess. Donald Trump, in case you missed this, Donald Trump basically has taken credit for Colin Kaepernick not being on an NFL roster right now.
I love it.
And he's saying that he has kept former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick out of a job because NFL owners are like scared to hire him or like to have him on their team because they're afraid of Trump's wrath on Twitter.
Is that really why?
Unless you consider CNN fake news, that's the story.
Oh, geez.
That's from CNN right there.
Oh, man. It's one of those times where I really do want like a Russia story to come out when that's the thing that they're afraid of Twitter wrath from the president. What is he going to bring down prices or stock prices?
I don't know. I just think that he's batshit crazy without getting too political.
No, yeah.
But he also has guys like isn't like the owner of the Jets now like an ambassador to a country?
I don't know. Woody Johnson?
Yeah. So there's a little bit of conflict of interest right there.
Right.
So
right.
It's not like Woody Johnson is going to bring Colin Kaepernick in because then he's going to go against his boy Trump.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's I would say so. He's not under contract with the Niners anymore. Is that right?
No. So here's what Trump had to say: Inner cities will find a rebirth of hope, safety, and opportunity. Trump said before bringing up Kaepernick's free agency.
Jesus.
Your San Francisco quarterback. I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Somebody said.
It was reported that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that? I just saw that. That's what Trump said.
Listen, I say that the Cowboys sign him up right now just to do it.
I don't know, man. I don't even know. Maybe like they're using the... I think this is just Trump making up another story that NFL owners are really scared. I just honestly, if he's not already on my roster, like if he was on my roster and you cut him,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't bring him back, then you're probably going to face the wrath from like, you know, the NAACP saying that you're not bringing back a black man because he stood up for for African American people. So you would face that wrath. But now that he's not on your team, why would you want any of that publicity coming your way? I mean, hey, kudos to Colin Kaepernick for taking a stand on an issue that he felt was near and dear to his heart. Like, I applaud that. But in the end, you had to know that this was coming.
For sure.
Well, he didn't produce last year, unfortunately. So this was inevitable. But what brought up, was Trump speaking in San Francisco? Like, what made him want to focus on a random quarterback during a stump speech?
A stump speech.
Or whatever a speech.
What the hell is a stump speech? Let's figure out what a stump speech is.
It's like a Trump speech, but with an S.
Yeah. When a guy comes to stump, he just comes to push his agenda in a speech.
It's like a Trump speech when Trump is actually speaking.
Right. We're looking forward for Trump hitting the stump.
Everyone looks stumped. Like, yeah. I don't know what he just said. I don't think that's real, right?
I thought we were talking about NASA. He brings up Kaepernick. What? Did this have to do with him signing the deal for NASA to go to Mars, and then he decided to just take the opportunity to shit on Colin Kaepernick?
I think so.
Listen, when you plan your trip to Mars, I want you to, I can't do a Trump, but still, it was pretty terrible.
That's right. Again,
you do one?
Listen, okay, fine.
Huge. It's good. It's huge.
All right. Okay. You want to go to Mars? It's fine. We can do Mars. It's fine. Okay. It's fine. We can do Mars. Okay. If you want to go to Mars, it's fine. You do your own thing.
Take
on Mars.
Colin. Okay. Next I want question. You to take Colin.
And it's fake news.
That's outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Brady Matthews. Thank find him on much. Twitter at Brady Matthews.
You can
13.
Find me on can'tyousee.com/fuckingeating.com.
#can'tyouseeimfuckingeating. All right, guys. Before we get going, I really don't care about the Tom Brady story other than that it's hysterical that the guy got caught, and I basically like brought in all the authorities and said like, hey, look what I've got. I've got two Tom Brady jerseys and Von Miller's helmet. I want to talk about this high school coach because Brady Matthews, this works into one of your jokes.
Right.
This will be our last story of the show.
Sure.
There's a high school coach in Spokane, Washington from Ferris High School who has now been suspended. His name is Jim Sharkey. So apparently it had come out last summer that he had whipped his dick out, but then like all the details started coming out, and according to the Spokesman Review, here's what happened. A couple of weeks after the camp, a Ferris player came forward and said that while Sharkey was grilling, he turned with his exposed penis inside a hot dog bun. Sharkey said, "You think that is a big dog? Take a look at this."
Wow. This is a coach?
Yeah, and that is according to school records that listed multiple different versions of the same quote.
Hold on.
You're not allowed to put your dick in a bun if you're a head coach?
Not in front of your kids.
In front of your kids that you coach?
Yes, correct.
Correct. No one said anything about your actual children.
I was going to say, then I guess I'm not going to be a coach anytime.
So then, after he was placed on administrative leave February 1st after more players claimed to have seen the hot dog incident and other students brought up separate incidents of questionable behavior by the 11-year teacher and coach. One of those complaints said that a girl had been called a puck slut or puck bunny by Sharkey because she was friends with Spokane Chiefs hockey players, most of them who attended Ferris High School. And then another football player also alleged that he knew of four or five times that players would gang up and dogpile a player on his birthday, and they would shove their fingers up the player's anus, something the players called juicing. The player also made it clear that no coaches or adults were around during those incidents. So then why they're bitching about the coach having any knowledge of that? or saying it was his fault, I don't know. But as for the allegation of players juicing, which again is jamming their fingers up the birthday boy's ass, Sharkey denied knowing that. He said, "I would not allow this. No way. You better have dates and times of the juicing. If you say 10 to 15 times, you just better be able to tell me exactly when and who."
That's some solid investigative work.
What I love is that he also referred to it as juicing. Like, it wasn't a secret to him. Like, right. I don't know anything about no juicing.
Right. I would have said, like, shoving fingers.
Listen, I don't know
up somebody's ass.
Yeah, at least pretend like you don't know what juicing is and say something different.
Yeah,
like when Belichick says the tweets or the tweeter.
Yeah,
or you
the
know,
snap
and everyone's like, oh, "That's cute," but maybe he doesn't get it. Right. But homeboy sounds like he's been juicing for quite some time now.
You better have dates and times of the juicing. I love how he threatens. If you're gonna accuse me of this, you better have dates and times. I want to know when and who.
But I do like putting my dick in hot dog buns.
Being accused. Hey, real quick, did you hear about the soccer star that chopped up his ex-girlfriend?
I did hear about that.
And threw it to a fucking pack of dogs. His pack of dogs.
This is for real.
Yes.
This is why I don't watch soccer.
And guess what? He served 6 years in jail. Now he got out.
Oh, is he on the Cowboys?
Now he's on a new team.
Come on!
Swear to God.
What country is this?
New team. Brazil.
Not surprised.
Brazil. Oh, yeah.
There's too much money in that.
Yeah, they said there was something with his story and just didn't add up.
Yeah, it's called he's really good at soccer.
So, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I don't. So it's funny how
he's still 32.
You're telling,
he's still got a career.
Yeah.
In the story you're telling me, like, he was able to find another team, like 6 years after he spent time in prison.
As soon as he got out, he got picked up right away.
In America, I don't think this guy who put his dick in a hot dog bun and said, "Take a look at this dog," I don't think he's ever going to find work again.
No, but that's America for you.
But he could maybe do porno. Listen, he could, yeah. Listen, like, that could be a whole premise of porn.
You chop up your chick, you throw it at a couple dogs. That's a different dog story. You put your dog in a fucking hot dog bun. You get fucking the book thrown at you.
So that would be fun. That'd be fun to be like a teacher of a school like 3 years from now. I'm going to give you two stories. One is of a soccer player who hacked up his wife and then fed her, you know, pieces of her body
to his dogs.
And then I'm going to tell you one about a football coach who took his exposed penis and put it in a hot dog bun and told his players, "Hey, look at this dog." Which one do you think?
That sounds like my favorite game of fact or fudge.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, all right. So, yeah, you could say that this actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. All right, that's good. I like it. So you could actually, like, ask that question to your kids. Write out who you think still has a job.
Yeah, and they'd all be like, the white guy.
That's what it always
is. Nowadays, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Nope.
All right, so the hot dog
right,
in the bun
Ferberg?
Story.
Ferberg, right?
I know it.
Right?
Yep. I wanted to end on this story today, the hot dog in the bun story, because our good friend Brady Matthews, co-host of the Daily Upper Decker every single week, find us online at dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. You have an unbelievable hot dog in the bun story.
Yeah.
So this is what we're ending on, buddy. Punchline and all. Let's do it.
Let's see. Long story short, I sent my girlfriend a picture of me. I was playing Halo and I was drunk and drinking white wine. And I sent her a picture of me, and it was the last hot dog bun that we had. And it was like a sandwich bun. It was a sandwich, but it's better for the story of a hot dog bun.
Right, okay.
But I took a sandwich, our last piece of, you know,
any kind of bread, yeah.
Sure. And I put my wiener in, and I sent it to her, and I said, "Did someone order a dick sandwich?" And she wrote back, "No." Which was a bummer because
with no emojis or anything.
Nothing. It was a bummer because I feel like I put a lot of effort into it.
A lot on the line.
Yeah, you know how hard it is to get the camera angle on that?
Yeah.
And then I had my pants off and everything, and so I said, "You know what? I feel like I wasn't getting the recognition that I should have for all the hard work that I put into it." So I waited till she got home, and then I popped out, tried to scare her, you know, because you see those on YouTube and everything, and how cute it is. And I'm like, this is going to be cute, right? Because you do cute stuff with couples, and then you videotape it, and then you put it online, and it gets a million hits, right? So I jump out, and I go, "Did someone order a dick sandwich?" And she goes, and she hit the fucking wall, and she goes, "What the fuck are you doing?" I go, "What?" And I forgot that she was with her parents. And her parents were walking up the stairs. This happened right here. Parents walked up the stairs, and I ran behind the counter right here. And her dad walks in. He goes, "Someone making sandwiches?" And I said, "Yeah, Keith. Yep. We're going to have to. I go, we only got one bun. We're going to have to split it." Yeah. That's a true story.
Oh, that's great. And then at the end, you're like, "Can't you see I'm fucking eating?"
Yeah.
The Daily Upper Decker. nothing but sports and crap.